Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's breathtaking programme for July the 25th. I'm Thomas Stevens.
It can be a vocation, it can be a weekend pastime, it can be a sport, it can be a religion, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it just combines everything, it's amazing.
It, you've probably worked out, is mountain climbing. In this special programme, I'll be talking to SwissInfo.ch journalist John Heilprin, just back from climbing the Matterhorn and researching what happened exactly 150 years ago, when Switzerland's most famous landmark was conquered for the first time. John reflects in a fascinating and funny way on the personal and physical challenges of climbing the 4,478 metres with his guide, Gianni Mazzoni, and what it felt like standing on the summit. He also explains his respect for the tweed-wearing party of English climbers and Swiss mountain guides who made it to the top on July the 14th, 1865. The elation that day soon turned to horror, however, when on the way down, the rope linking the seven climbers snapped, killing four of them. But in case you're thinking that SwissInfo.ch sends its reporters out on recklessly dangerous assignments, John, a fit and spry 53, is an accomplished climber who worked as a mountaineering and backcountry skiing instructor for several years. He has also climbed some peaks much bigger than the Matterhorn.
I've attempted some big peaks. I've climbed in the Paul region of Everest. I was on a big American expedition to the North Ridge of K2 in the year 2000. That was pretty exciting, and I got to about 7,000 meters.
Well, the top of the Matterhorn, that is at an altitude of 4,478 meters. The night before the climb, you stayed at the newly refurbished Hoenli hut. Sleep well?
I did not, actually. I tossed and turned all night long. I was thinking about a lot of things, personal things. I was anxious about the climb. It was a combination of things.
What was the hut like?
The hut's great.
And they spent eight million francs on it.
8 million francs on it. It's astonishing. On the right-hand side is the old hut, is the exterior of the old hut, and they built on a new section on the left, and they completely refurbished the whole interior. And it's amazing. I mean, there's a brand new sort of dining section. There were, you know, maybe, I'm guessing, 30 or 40 people at most at the hut, which is not a lot.
So you set off early in the morning.
I got up at 3:20. We went downstairs, and we were probably out the door within a half an hour.
And as you set off, what were your thoughts? Were you excited? Were you nervous? Were you thinking, oh, I might just stay in bed for another few hours and I'll see you when you come back? You set off with your guide, of course.
Yeah. By then, I had my pack packed. I had some breakfast. But still, it was sort of a rush. I mean, I was maybe not quite ready. I was sort of still getting my headlamp ready and my helmet and adjusting this new GoPro helmet camera that I had on, and you know, I was probably half asleep, and Johnny, the guide, wanted to just go. Of course, he wanted to be the first one out, so I felt a little rushed, and I felt a little bit nervous. But what was strange was just to walk out of this very modern, comfortable hut up high in the Alps, and then within 1 minute, you're climbing in the dark by headlamp, you know, and you just think, wow, okay. Now I'm climbing.
And there are some, on SwissInfo.ch, there are some extraordinary video footage that you took using your helmet camera, which shows what you're talking about. I should warn you, it's probably not for people who are lightheaded or who have vertigo, because there are some extremely steep drops either side. But have a look at that. Did you have a chance as you were climbing to appreciate the views? I mean, I'd be probably clinging onto the guide's leg and sobbing hysterically. But did you have a chance to look around?
Up until then, it had been mostly dark. So, you know, the first couple hours, it's dark. And as Johnny kept saying, he kept emphasizing, you know, always look to the rhythm, always try to get in the rhythm. And really, you just have to kind of put out of your mind what you're doing. And you focus on your breathing, you focus on just moving, and you just have to kind of not think too much, really, and just do. And so up until the Solvay Refuge, when the light comes up, you know, you're just moving along, getting in the rhythm of things. But yeah, sure, as the sun came up, as it started to lighten up and I got a good view, it was gorgeous.
Something spiritual about mountain climbing?
Absolutely. You know, when I wanted to be a guide and when I worked as a mountaineering instructor for several years, I mean, I felt like I had the best job on the planet, because for me, climbing, there's nothing else like climbing. It can be a vocation. It can be a weekend pastime. It can be a sport. It can be a religion. It can be – it's a physical pursuit for sure, but there's a lot of problem solving involved. It's emotional. It's spiritual. Aesthetics, you know, it's a lot about who you're with. It just combines everything. It's amazing, and it's wonderful.
What were your emotions when you made it to the top?
I was so relieved. I was so happy. I wrote about, I had been a little bit fearful having watched the videos of the summit ridge, thinking that that was going to be the scariest part. It is like the edge of a knife. It just drops off.
And one wrong.
And it's only, you know, a couple meters wide and snow and rock. But by the time I got there, you know, really it was fine. I think if anything, it's scarier to watch the GoPro video than it was for me to be there. At least it is for me. But sure, no, I was really happy, relieved. It was really wonderful because it was a special day. It was perfect weather. We were first out of the hut. We were first on top. Johnny said, you know, we had a really fast time, which 3 hours, 45 minutes, which was good. And it made me feel good. I had done it, you know, mission accomplished. And for Johnny, I think it really was a special day. You know, he had now climbed it 287 times. But as I asked him and as he explained on the summit, it's not about the number. It's about the person you're climbing with. It's about that experience. And it's true. You know, there's many routes I've done. I can do them over and over again. And each day it's different because the day is different.
How long did you stay at the top for?
We had the summit to ourselves for about 15 minutes, and then I think we were up there for maybe another 15 minutes. There was another team, another guide with his client behind us.
And then the descent. They say that coming down is harder than going up. Is that true?
It's really true, I think, because on the Matterhorn, it's 4 hours of a long technical descent where it's almost all this sort of monkey-style climbing facing outward. And it really it requires a lot of concentration and a lot of, you know, you're constantly pushing it on your leg muscles.
When you were coming down, you must have passed the spot where 150 years ago the rope snapped, sending four of the seven-man party to their deaths. That must have been in your mind when you passed that spot.
It was. I mean, you don't know exactly where the spot was, but you know generally where it is. And the thing that was really... I felt like it was a bit of an insight for me was after I had done the ascent and the descent, I thought, of course, the accident happened on the descent because, you know, you're excited. I mean, a lot of accidents in climbing do happen on the descent. People spend all their energy getting to the top and they don't keep any reserves for the descent. But in this particular case, I can imagine how they would not only be tired, but going down, it really is, it's steep.
Did it go smoothly or were there any moments where you thought, help, I'm stuck, call the helicopter?
I never got that far, but the last hour was tough. In technical climbing, you know, usually there's a lead climber where you're climbing up first and you're placing protection and bringing the climber up below you. And I'm used to doing the lead climbing. I hadn't really been guided much at all. But there were a few moments where on, you know, the last hour or so where I felt a little wobbly. Yeah, I really felt just for a moment or two, just a little bit unsteady. And just in that second, I felt the rope snap behind me. And
not literally.
No. No, not snap in the sense of being – no. I mean, I felt it come
– Taut. Yeah.
Taut, exactly. The rope came taut behind me.
That was audio taken by your helmet camera as you were working your way up the mountain and then being congratulated by your guide, Gianni Mazzoni, on the summit. What was the most memorable moment for you? Was it making it to the top? Was it coming back down safely?
I guess when we started to get up higher and when I began to really see some of the historic pieces and ropes left behind, I began to see the fixed lines. The big fixed lines that are not old, they're in place. But I did see some of the old sort of iron pieces of protection and things. I guess when I began to really see the route and see the pieces there and feel the history more. And then when I got up higher on the ridge and you really see the exposure, it was exciting. It was a feeling of sort of an insight into history.
Did it go through your mind that, you know, 150 years ago they would have been wearing, I don't know what they were wearing, tweeds? Did it make you appreciate their achievement?
I thought, absolutely. I thought about it. I mean, they don't even have crampons. You know, we had to put on crampons for the upper summit. The conditions then were very different, but still, their gear was poor. You know, they wore these sort of tweed-like suits. The ropes, you know, as we know, were very poor. It's hard to imagine, after something's been done, to imagine the difficulty of that sort of mental breakthrough that's required. But, you know, imagine the whole way up. It's never been climbed before. And for them, until they got to the summit, they didn't know. Like for me climbing up, you know, okay, I don't know until I get to the summit that I can do it. Then I got there. But for them, it's never even been done before. It's a whole other magnitude of a breakthrough.
Another obvious difference between 150 years ago and today is the technology, the electronic technology. What did you take with you?
It seems like everybody these days has a smartphone, even on the mountains, and we're no different. I loved how in the Hornley Hut they've got, you know, it's brand new. They've got all these charging stations. You know, everyone's using them for their smartphone. I brought an iPhone. Johnny had an iPhone. And
Did you use them when you were on the mountain? Did you use these iPhones as sat navs? Sort of go up, keep going up.
They're not quite that useful. That's part of what you're really paying these guides for is their intimate knowledge of the route. Johnny knows every single hold. It seems like, you know, every centimeter, every meter of the way. But no, he takes calls from clients every now and then. He'll keep in touch while we're on a climb. And on this climb, when we got to the summit, he called his wife. And I was inspired. And I thought, yeah, I've got a phone. So I called my two sons. And it was really cool to be able to call them and say, Johan and Adrian, this is Papa. I'm on the summit of the Matterhorn. Love you. And I took a few photos on the top with I was shooting with my GoPro camera, but I also took photos with my little pocket Canon camera, and then I also took photos with my iPhone. I tried to do a live broadcast on Periscope for Swiss Info, but the signal wasn't strong enough. But I was able to tweet a picture from the summit. That was cool. And then on the way down, I unfortunately left my pocket open as I was climbing. I had put my camera back in its pouch, but my phone was in the – and at one point, about a third of the way down the climb, I leaned over and I had this horrifying look. I saw my iPhone tumbling out of my pocket, and it just went down the slope and kept tumbling. And Johnny actually was going to – we were going to look for it, but it was gone.
Casualty of the climb.
Casualty of the climb, but you know that's if that's the worst thing that happens to you, it's a good day.
Would you do it again?
Absolutely. Within a day of getting down, I thought I want to do this maybe once a year. That would be a nice tradition.
SwissInfo.ch journalist John Heilprin reliving climbing the Matterhorn. If you want to know more about John's experience and the rope that broke during the first ascent, go to swissinfo.ch, where the big multimedia read, The Legacy of the Matterhorn, tells the story of the accident that changed a family, a village, and a mountain. Thanks for listening, and thanks to studio technician Ivan Steiner. I'm Thomas Stevens.